What are your thoughts about money and the global banks, David?
Well, this is again, whichever subject you bring up, we come back to the same thing: illusion, deceit, inversion. Money has been the way of hijacking our old friend. It keeps coming up, hijacking choice. If you said to people, most people in the world who aren't doing what they want to do, which it seems to be most people, why aren't you doing what you want to do? And again and again, the reply will be, I don't have the money. So we have skills and gifts in people in abundance all over the world that could be used to make this world a nicer place, a better place, and a more joyous place, a more creative place, a place of limitless potential. But so much of that talent, those gifts, are locked inside of people because they cannot express them, because what they those gifts and talents are don't suit the system. And thus, the system ensures, unless you come from a rich family, that there is not the money for those things for you to actually do them. And anyway, your time is overwhelmingly focused on survival, paying the rent, paying the energy company, paying for food, surviving. And while you're doing that, you have to do what is necessary to earn that money. And the system invariably tells you what that is, and your choices of what you do with your life are overwhelmingly dictated by the system on the basis of do this or you won't earn money to survive. And so much human talent, human creativity never gets expressed because of a simple thing, money. So this is the other thing. How many people ask themselves, what is money? They talk about money, they're obsessed with money. It's unbelievable the number of people are obsessed with money. People with money are obsessed with money. People without money are obsessed with money. There's this great obsession with money. Everything comes down to money. As Oscar Wilde said, people know the price of everything and the value of nothing. This is the way money has taken over the psyche. And it's taken over the psyche because of its importance in relation to choice and its importance in relation to survival. And yet, what is it? It's simply a figment of the imagination. Money is merely a theoretical unit of exchange. And so when you say to people, how does money come into circulation? They will say something like, oh, it's the government, isn't it? Or I don't, well, it's government or something. I've talked to economists sometimes, and they've not been able to give me a proper answer of how money comes into circulation. It comes into circulation quite simply, overwhelmingly through private banks making loans to people. And when you when
So this death-based economy, David, people are stuck in, is there a way out?
Well, again, the way out starts A, I'm a slave. B, I have no political choice. Thirdly, rather, it comes from, first of all, the understanding, and most people don't have it, that money is an illusion and a form of systematic control. Then we might have the motivation to say, what do we do about it? But again, until you reach these conclusions and these realizations about what is, you don't have the motivation to put something in there that's different. And I think it's very, very important that the alternative media does not believe that it's only talking to itself, because that's not its job. Its job is to talk to people and communicate information to people who have no idea of what's going on in the world. And I hear people in the alternative media say, "Oh no, we don't need to talk about money. We know about all that." Well, we, as in you, may do, but billions out there don't.
Correct.
Right? And so I make no apologies for constantly repeating these things whenever I get the opportunity. And so this is what the mainstream media, or the alternative media, much of which mirrors the mainstream media in the way it operates, in my view, and its closed-mindedness in so many ways too, with honorable exceptions, it needs to appreciate that it's not just talking to its natural constituency, people who would be interested in what it's got to say, and then once it's done that, it moves on to something else. No, it's got to appreciate that unless vast numbers of people understand the problem, they won't realize there's a need to actually deal with it, and money's another thing. I keep hearing people in the alternative media saying, "Oh, we don't need to talk about money. We know about that." Well, billions don't. Okay, let's never forget that. Otherwise, we're not doing what we need to do. And with the financial system, it's like, you're talking to me about people who are closed to anything alternative. Well, one of the great ways to get those people to, in my experience anyway, to get those people to look at the world differently is to start with money. Because people are obsessed with money, and they have a certain perception about money. And if we're going to start saying, "Well, actually, the world's not quite like you thought it was," let's start with money. And what we have is a system specifically created not only to control people's choice, as I've explained, but to hijack the world and to acquire the world by exchanging non-existent money, figures on a screen known as credit, for real wealth, land, businesses, homes, and all that, resources. And this is what has happened through the centuries systematically to present day. And I would say this too, to those that say, "I live in the real world, this is all nonsense." The figures were made public recently that 48% of the world's wealth is now said to be owned by 1% of the people, and it's moving on towards 50% very quickly. Because the more wealth you have, the more wealth you have to acquire more wealth. So let me ask the people who say they live in the real world and it's all nonsense. Do you think that nearly 50% of the world's wealth being in the hands of 1% of the world's population has happened by accident? Has it happened by random chance? Or has it quite blatantly happened by certainly not random design? So what's going on? What's going on when that can happen, and that clearly has been by design? And how has it been done? By creating a banking system which is allowed to lend money it doesn't have, called fractional reserve lending, where they can lend 9 or 10 times what they have on deposit, in fictional money called credit, and charge interest on it. And when people cannot pay back that money plus interest, often for no fault of their own, because some economic crash or whatever, the banks can move in and take the land, resources, and real wealth in exchange, collateral, for figures on a screen credit that never has existed and never will. And this happens on an individual level, and it happens on a country level. This, we're looking at it now with people like Greece and and other countries that are in dire economic straits, and their people going through misery and deprivation as a result of not having enough figures on a screen worth nothing unless we believe they are worth something called credit. And so this exchange of credit theoretical money for real wealth over time has been the way that 1% has accumulated nearly 50% of the wealth of the world. That's how it's been done. And if you have a situation where you have interest on money, you are always going to have slavery, because you and this situation, because what it means is, without producing anything in terms of production, without producing any contribution to society, you can acquire the wealth of that society by simply issuing non-existent money and charging interest on it. And that's the other point. When you go to a bank and you borrow money or credit, say $50,000, that bank creates out of nothing $50,000 that it doesn't have, quite legally, and starts charging you interest on it. But the interest is never created, only the principal figure. So if you think about that, every time a bank makes a loan anywhere in the world, they are lending the principal figure, but not the interest you have to pay on top of the principal figure. And that means something very profound, that there is never, ever enough money in circulation to pay back all the principal debt and the interest on the debt outstanding. Therefore, people losing their homes, their land, their livelihoods is built into the system of finance, and it's done systematically. So we need a system of exchange to overcome the limitations of barter, which doesn't involve interest on money, and in which the currency is issued as a unit of exchange, not as a debt. If you had a money system which did not involve interest on money, in which money could not be made from money, could only be made from a productive contribution to society, then a lot of these a lot of these negative things to do with money and the financial system would disappear. You know, there have been times when local communities who've been in dire economic straits have created their own theoretical currency. Where, you see, you've got someone in a recession who wants their house painted, and you've got someone in a recession that has the skill to paint a house. But because of the control of money, the two can't be put together. And what some societies have done in these dire straits is they've created their own theoretical money, in which you have a central point that's keeping a tab on it, and someone goes and paints a house. That person who's done that gets credits, and the person who's had the house painted gets goes into a deficit. So now the person who's had the house painted has to contribute to that community with their skills to remove that deficit they've got to that community. Whereas the guy who's painted the house and has the credits, he can now ask other people to do things for him up to the point of that credit. And what all that is doing is creating a way of overcoming the limitations of barter. Quite simply, the guy who paints the house might not want anything that the person he's painting the house for can give to him. This overcomes that limitation. And in that way, it works as a means of opening up opportunity, opening up people's gifts and contributions. But once you have interest on money, once you can make money from money, once money is not simply a way of exchanging contributions to society, but a way of acquiring that society, then you have the situation we're in now. And that's how it that's how the world's been taken over, by the creation of non-existent credit and exchange for wealth that does exist. And there are ways around that. But once again, people are not going to look for them unless they realize what the situation is. Those communities that I talked about did not create those theoretical currencies operating in their community until the system that was there before, the money system, collapsed and they were in dire straits. So people have to become aware of how things are before they have an opportunity to change them.